वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहागनारघुनतान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतां समदूतां परिजनसहितां कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदं सहागनाललिता श्रीदिशाकान्वितांश्च जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैतचन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द वन्दे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानन्दो सहोदतो बोधोदये पुष्पवन्तो चित्रसन्दोतमोनरो नमो महावरणाय कृष्णप्रेमपताय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नमने गौरद्वेषे नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रियाद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वंदे श्री कृष्ण नित्यानंद सहोदरो गौरोदय पुष्पवंत चित्र This means the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. They have risen like the sun and the moon simultaneously on the horizon of Golden Day, just to give light, to distribute the pure mercy of God in this dark age of Kali Yuga. So this particular yatra that we are participating in is very special. In fact, it is a yatra that even among the devotees of Sri Chaitanya, hardly a single one has the fortune of partaking. We have recited this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sungo Sundar and Sri Nityananda, they both appeared for the sake of delivering the most fallen, most degraded and sinful conditioned souls in this age of Kali Yuga. So on this yatra, we will be visiting the place of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and the place of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's appearance. By the mercy of these two brothers, as explained by Lord Chandas Thakur, all obstacles in spiritual life can easily be overcome. If anyone is sleeping, they should stand up. Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gauru Chandra. This means that these two brothers, Nitai Gauru Chandra, they are Parama Karuna. They are supremely merciful. Why? Tava Avatar Sarasiro Mani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Of all incarnations of Godhead, Tava Avatar, Tava Siromani. That means they are the crest jewel, the essence, the perfection, the summum bonum of all incarnations of God. Why? Kevala Ananda Kanda. Because this incarnation, they are rewarding to anyone who will simply accept the highest perfection of Prem Bhakti by the simple, joyful process of chanting, dancing, and feasting. Kevala Ananda Kanda. That means that the process of Sri Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda is simply joyful. To dance, to chant, and to feast. In previous yugas, to attain elevation on the spiritual path is very difficult. Tremendous amount of tapasya. Tremendous amount of fasting. Of depriving the body of even the barest necessities. Intense self-control and concentration on the object of meditation. Celibacy in a secluded place. Without these prerequisites, it was impossible to make any spiritual advancement. But in the age of Kali Yuga, no one can practice yoga in this form. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has prayed, Namo Mahabharinaya Krishna Premapadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Guru Teshe Namaha. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the avatar that has come to deliver the most form. In previous incarnations, the Lord carries various weapons. As Parasuram, he carried an axe and killed the demons. As Lord Nrsimhadev, he carried his very sharp sword-like nails to kill the demons. As Ramchandra, he carried his veritable bows and arrows. As Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he carried his Sudarshan Chakra. Balaramji carried his club and his plow. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he carries the weapon of Harinam, the holy name, which is more powerful than all his other weapons combined. Because these other weapons only killed the bodies of the demons and gave them liberation. But the weapon of the holy name kills the demoniac influences in the heart and transforms the devotees into the demons into pure devotees of the Lord. Therefore, Lord Chandas Thakur sings, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Chaitanya Nitai Sudridabhi Shvashakori. My dear brothers, just listen to me. Please, just once, wake up and listen. Worship these two brothers, Nitai Borachandra. How to worship them? By meditating on their mercy and chanting the holy name. Lord Chandas Thakur explains that simply this chanting of the holy names can attain the highest perfection of life, wherever you are. There's only one simple little tiny restriction. Vishayachudiyasairasemajiya mute bode hari hari. The only restriction. Not asking much. You know that restriction? That when you chant the holy name, you must simply give up all sense gratification. That's it. Vishaya-chidya-sera-sema-jiya-mukhe-bolo-hari-hari. As long as you're attached to your sense gratification, the holy name's effects will be minimized. Mukhe-bolo-hari-hari. So simply put aside these insignificant, petty attachments to this mortal world, this dying body, and call out the holy name with great feeling. That is the message of Sri Gaurasundara. We were singing this morning, Mukunda Madhava Jadava Hari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this very place of Sri Mayapur Dham, down these very streets that we were dancing today, every morning would gather all the Vaishnavas, and with the Madanga beating, and the Karatas chiming in time, and everyone dancing with great feeling and grace, they would call out to whoever they would see, at every house they would pass by, wake up sleeping soul, chant the name of Mukunda Madhava Hari. You spend your days decorating your dying body. You spend your nights wasted in sleep and sex. Do not you understand the valuable benediction of this human birth and the most priceless gift that we are given? We are now sitting in what is considered by the Vaishnava devotees of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to be the topmost sacred place on all the earth. No. The topmost sacred place in all the universe. This very soil that our wretched bodies are now sitting in is the eternal abode where Sri Gaurasundara Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this world. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this story is given. It is described there that due to the influence of Kali Yuga, this holy land of Navadvipa was utterly filled with impersonalist philosophers, empty-hearted jnanis, simply studying Sanskrit grammar for the sake of erudite scholarship rather than realization, and utterly productive sense enjoyers. Not only Navadvipa, but the whole world. So, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he devised a plan to give everyone the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. It is described in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritramaya sadhu nam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapana radaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That whenever there is a rise in a religion and a decline in religion, in order to re-establish the principles of religion, I descend again and again and again. So there are three internal reasons and three external reasons why the Lord appears as Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This is the first of the external reasons. To establish the Yuga Dharma, which is Harinam Sankirtan. And also to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita that he comes to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants. And the third reason was to fulfill the heartfelt prayers of his most munificent devotee, Sri Advaita Acharya. It is described that the Vaishnava always has the Lord in his heart, and therefore he is as merciful as the Lord himself. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before coming, he sent many of his confidential associates, his eternal associates. Anyone sleeping must stand up. You're too proud to stand up and admit you're sleeping, and you are unfortunate. Sleep means death.
and the name of God is being glorified. Does everyone understand that? So the Supreme Lord appeared in various of his avatars to prepare the way for his original form's incarnation. He sent down his eternal associate Madhavendra Puri, Srila Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri. Lord Brahma appeared as Srila Haridas Thakur. Narada Muni appeared as Srivas Acharya. Sri Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda. He sent down Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj as Jagannath Mishra and Sakshi Mata. He sent down King Krishabanu of Barasana as Tundarik Vidyanidhi. And he also incarnated from Mahavishnu as Sri Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya, they all performed the Leela, although many of them were Krishna himself, of being devotees of the Lord. So Advaita, out of his natural compassion, was very anxious to deliver these unfortunate souls who were suffering, ultimately due to false pride. You see, when a person is proud, what can you tell him? Even if you do tell him, nothing goes to his heart. That's what is said in Gita, Tadvidhi Pranipatina Pari Prashnini Sevaya. When you approach Guru, you must approach with humility. You must inquire submissively and render service. Otherwise, even if you are in the presence of the greatest Acharya, and you hear everything he says, without humility and service, nothing will enter your heart. So although Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, and Mukunda, and the other Vaishnavas in Navadvipa, they were great scholars, tremendous preachers, no one listened to them. They were all proud of their education, proud of their wealth, proud of their beauty, proud of their high birth. So therefore, Advaita used to cry. Paradukha Dukhi. This is the nature of a devotee. He was playing the role of devotee. The devotee never cries for himself. The devotee cries to see the condition of others. Yesterday was Christmas Day, as I'm sure you noticed when we were driving by Ranghat. There was a big church, and there were perhaps tens of thousands of people going for darshan of Lord Jesus Christ on his appearance day. So, of course, we accept Lord Jesus Christ as a great Acharya, a Shaktivesh avatar of Sri Hari. And he also demonstrated by his life this quality of Paradukha Dukhi. He was given plenty of warning that if you go into Jerusalem, they will imprison you and crucify you. Don't go, and everything will be all right. Huh? He didn't have to go. He wanted to go. Because he knew his mission on behalf of God was to be crucified to accept the sins of his followers. Then the path for their spiritual upliftment would be clear. He felt more pain seeing others suffer than he could have felt in that very difficult condition. That is a Vaishnava. And even when those persons who were murdering him, ruthlessly without any cause, they were ridiculing him, they were beating him, they put on his head a crown of thorns to humiliate him utterly. Can you imagine? They nailed him to cross. They were laughing. He began to cry, but not because he was in pain, not because he was embarrassed. He was crying out to God, please forgive them, they know not what they do. So Sri Advaitacharya was demonstrating this supreme compassion of the Lord and his devotees. And he decided that the only hope for humanity in this age of Kali Yuga is if the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appears in this world. And distributes his mercy personally. None of us can do it. Even the avatars can't do it. What to speak of the empowered representatives. Only Krishna, the original Swayam Bhagavan himself can do it. That is the condition of this age of Kali. So he was reading a passage in the Shastra. And while he was reading, you see, we are going very soon to the house of Advaita Acharya here in Mayapur. Every day, all the devotees would gather there, and they would have kirtan, and they would read from Bhagavatam, and they would read from Shastra, and they would deliberate upon amongst themselves how to somehow or other get through to these proud, puffed up, nonsense people of Kali Yuga. So one day as they were reading Shastra, they read one passage where it describes that the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, he is supremely pleased to fulfill the desire of his devotee that worships him with the water from the Ganges and tulsi leaves and calls out his holy name. So Advaita thought, this is the process. So he would, this close on the bank of Ganga, he would sit with his Shalagram Shila on the floor of Krishna, and with heartfelt cries he would call out at the top of his lungs, begging to the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Govinda, to appear in this world personally to distribute his mercy. And while he would be crying at the top of his lungs with a heart full of utter devotion, he would offer tulsi leaves and Ganges water. And he did this repeatedly every day. He petitioned, my dear Lord, please, you have to come. There's no alternative. And because he chanted the Lord's name with great feeling and devotion, the Lord says that he always responds to such a prayer of his devotee. So while we are here on this yatra, especially, but also wherever we are, whenever, we should take this example. That chanting the holy name is not a mechanical process. That if we want the real effect of this great mercy of Sri Gaurisunda, we must chant with great attention, with great feeling, with great devotion. And even if we have no devotion and no feeling, no love, then with a humble and desperate heart we should be crying out for that devotion. for that fuel, for that love. But anyone can do that, if you want it, if you are sincere. So, due to Advaitacharya's pure petition, the Supreme Lord decided to appear in this world. Jagannath Mishra and Shashi Mata, they lived at this very place where we are sitting now. And this moon tree was the auspicious, most auspicious part of their property. At that place where the temple is, Jagannath Mishra and Sakshi Mata worshipped a beautiful deity of Vishnu. That deity is on the altar. The altar, in case you are wondering, on the left it is Radha Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the center altar is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the middle. On his right side is his first wife, Lakshmi Devi. And on his left side is his second wife, Srimati Vishnu Priya. And on the altar to the right is the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi, Govinda Bhakta Vrinda. And in the center is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath. So in the center altar, these children are getting Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. They're getting the dust of his bar on their head. So, the original deity of Jagannath Mishra, Sakshi Mata, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's childhood deity is still there. If you look very carefully, very small. Sometimes the pujari will bring him out.
Bring him out, yes. You can request
a few movies. So, it is here that Jagannath Mishra and Sakshi Mata worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And they had eight daughters consecutively. And each of those eight daughters died during infancy. So they began to worship this beautiful deity of Vishnu, praying that he grant them a beautiful child, Liz. And in answer to their prayer, a plenary portion of Sri Shankarshan, Balaram, appeared as a beautiful male child, and he was named Vishwarupa. He was an ocean of all good qualities. He had all the symptoms of Godhead himself. Now it is said that most people, when they are in a desperate condition, things are going wrong, they approach God with great fear, and then after their desires are fulfilled, then they think, we do not need this God anymore so much. But Jagannath Mishra and Sakshi Mata were not like that. When they saw how mercifully and kind the Lord reciprocated with them, they increased by hundreds of times their devotion to Lord Krishna. So it is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one evening, Sri Jagannath Mishra saw a divine light enter into his heart. And then he perceived that same divine light being transferred into the heart of his wife, Sakshi Mata. And then he noticed that it was transferred into her womb. And that day she became pregnant. So they both could understand that this is a very divine appearance. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, it was not like an ordinary man. Janma karma chame divyam evam yogatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat It was simply a divine appearance into the heart. There was not even the slightest physical contact between the two, as the Christians call immaculate conception. So then the child began to grow within the womb of his mother. And as he was growing, all auspicious things were taking place. All auspicious signs were constantly around Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. Sometimes Sachi Mata, she would see all sorts of celestial beings, demigods and demigoddesses, all showering flowers and offering prayers to the child in her womb. Sometimes Jagannath Mishra would just walk down the street and everyone would simultaneously, for no reason at all, just start offering him prayers and giving him gifts. So the pregnancy went on, 9 months, 10 months, and there was no child born. So they became concerned. Maybe they were thinking that Shukadeva Goswami stayed in for 16 years. They did not want to go. So they approached Nirvambhar Chakrabarti. He was the greatest scholar, astrologer, and a very pure Vaishnava Brahman. He was the father of Sachi Mata. And he did astrological calculation. And he said, at the end of this month, on the full moon night, this child will be born. The reason this child is late is because it is a divine incarnation of Godhead, and it is simply waiting for the most auspicious time for his appearance. So it was on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun. As the full moon rose on the eastern horizon, that was an evening of eclipse. For according to the Shastra, the Rahu planet comes and covers the moon. So, this is considered by many Hindus and Muslims combined as an inauspicious occasion. So therefore, in order to ward off the inauspiciousness, everyone goes to the Ganga, and during the eclipse, they stand submerged in the Ganga, and they chant as loud as they can the names of Lord Hari, which makes everything all auspicious. It is described that the name of Hari is the supreme most auspicious thing in all existence. And no matter what situation is there, if the name of Hari is chanted, that situation becomes all auspicious. So this was the most auspicious moment because everyone, 100%, were chanting the name of Hari. The Hindus were chanting with devotion, and the Muslims were chanting in ridicule because all the Hindus were chanting. So the name of Hari was resounding throughout the air. And in the call of that holy name, Lord Sri Gosunda, like the full golden moon, rose in the heart, the horizon of the heart of Srimati Sachi Mata. Now Sachi Mata especially had faith in this moon tree, because it is described that the moon tree not only has it great medicinal properties, not only is it a very holy and sacred tree, but it is described that no ghosts, no spirits, no inauspicious beings can tolerate being near the holy moon tree.
So she constructed a house, a little hut, right where the sun is, under the moon tree, and it is here that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. And of course, when he appeared, all the constellations in the sky became supremely auspicious. And all good signs were manifesting everywhere. It is described that Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, they were in their house some distance away. And when they saw all these auspicious signs manifesting all around them, they felt the atmosphere surcharged with the divine mercy of the Lord. Although they had no immediate contact with what was taking place here, they knew in their hearts that the Lord had appeared. And they jumped in the air, began dancing in jubilation and chanting the holy names. And everyone around was thinking, what is this? All of a sudden they're dancing. So this holy place is the birthplace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is also the place where he lived throughout his childhood pastimes. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur, as well as Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many, many wonderful chapters describing the childhood lila of Sri Gaurasundara. And most of those pastimes actually took place right here. It is here, as a small baby, he would crawl. Of course, his most famous pastime here, as we all know, was that he would like to cry. Sometimes, not only when he was a baby, but even when he got older. When he was a baby, he would just cry, because babies cry. That's why we cannot tolerate them during their classes, they cry. But when Lord Chaitanya would cry, not only could people tolerate it, but they liked it. That is the difference between God and your baby. Sometimes everyone thinks, my baby is just like Krishna. But if that was true, then everyone in the assembly would like his crying. Why only you like? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cry, and there was no way to pacify his crying. They would give him milk, they would give him toys, they would pick him up and take care of him in so many ways. But he would just cry louder. Whatever they gave him, he would cry louder and louder and louder and louder. Until finally all the people in the area would assemble and start chanting very loud the holy name. And then he would smile. And he would look at everyone smiling. And he would glance so sweetly that everyone's heart would melt in divine love. And they felt the utmost ecstasy. So this became, throughout the day, the pastime of all the residents of Navadvipa, especially the ladies. Just waiting for Chaitanya Nimai to cry. They were just anxiously waiting, when will he start crying? And when he would cry, they would all gather around and chant. And then he would smile. And then they would be ready. You see, he appeared in this world when the name was chanted. And even in his first days of infancy, he would convince everyone around to chant the holy name. In this way, he was giving a hint of his divine mission. So Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, he did astrological calculation after the birth of this child. And he said that this is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the signs are upon him. And he is the one Supreme Personality that nourishes the entire existence, the whole universe. Therefore he named him Vishnu Bhar, which means the Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer and nourisher of all universe. But somehow or other he has appeared in a beautiful golden form. Therefore the young ladies of Navadvip, they called him by the name of Gaur Hari. The golden complexion Lord Hari has appeared amongst them.
So as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, grew a little older, he would still find excuses to cry. Sometimes, after he learned how to talk, he would say to his mother and father, he would look in the sky, and he'd say, "I want the moon." And they said, "But Nimai, it's not possible for us to give you the moon." And he would just start crying. "Crying! Give me the moon! If I don't have the moon, nothing else will satisfy me." And he would cry so loud, "We'll give you anything but not the moon. Now I want the moon." So there would be nothing to console him. And then they'd all have to come together and start chanting the holy names. And then he would smile. Another time he was sitting in this yard right here, mother and father, Sachinamata, Jagannathesh, with him playing, and a bird started flying in the air. He said, "I want that bird." He said, "Nimai, we'll try, but I want it now, immediately." And of course, they were not able to supply the bird. "We'll get you another one." "No, no, that one." And he would start to cry. And he would cry and cry and cry, louder and louder and louder. They couldn't pacify him anyway. So everyone came and started chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And then he would smile. Very sweetly. Capture everyone's heart. We could actually spend the rest of the day right here. Well, we do have some time restrictions. So, there are many wonderful pastimes. When my pandit got a little older, Sachinamata's house here. His brother Vishwaroop, who was very dear to them all, he found out his parents were going to arrange marriage for him. Listen very closely, all you eligible bachelors. And when he found out that his parents were arranging marriage, he thought, "Oh my God, the deep dark realm of materialism." What time is it?
9:30.
Breakfast time.
So,
in the middle of the night, he disappeared. Didn't tell anyone, anything. And he immediately took sannyas. And changed his name to Shankaravanya Swami Maharaj. And he was never to be seen again. And of course, when the news came to Jagannath Mishra and Sachinamata that their child, who was so virtuous and full of all good qualities, who was loved by all. Actually, sometimes Nimai was so mischievous. He was so unruly in his behavior. The only person on earth that he would respect enough to obey was Vishwaroop. Is Vishwaroop his brother, Ramji? So when Vishwaroop left,
Not only was their sun gone, but there was no one to visit them, Nimai. So Jagannath Mishra and Sakshi Mata were feeling great pain in their heart. Great, great pain. And one day in this place, Lord Chaitanya, Nimai, he happened to be given some betel nuts. And he ate them. And betel nuts are somewhat intoxicating. So he went into a sleep, and he had a dream. And in that dream, Vishwarup appeared to him, holding danda in the robe of the sannyasi. And he took Nimai by the hand and said, "Come, give up this world. Come take sannyas, we will travel together." And Nimai looked at him, and he said, "But who will take care of us?" Went back into the transcendental world of sannyas. So Nimai consoled his parents. He told them of his dream. And he said, I promise, I will not do what he did. I will get married, and I will take care of you, and I will always be with you. Of course, Jagannath Mishra and Sakshi Mata, their life and soul was only this Nimai. No matter what kind of mischief he would perform on the bank of the Ganges, it's like our children at the temple, they perform that play. Huh? There's no need to repeat that wonderful story of his mischief in the Ganga, how he would steal the clothes of the men and put them where the women's were, and the women's were the men, and then they would come out and the men would start putting on these, what do you call them, cholis and saris. And the women would come out and they'd see copans. They didn't know how, what is this copan? Women don't know how to, they don't know these secrets, how to do these things. So, it was a very difficult situation he was putting everyone in. Brahmins would be chanting Gayatri, and this little boy would just come out and spit water on their face. Then after he spit water on his face, he would go underwater, grab their feet, pull them out. They'd be trying to chant their Gayatri. And then after they get up, it's like throwing sand all over their bodies. Then it starts splashing, so much splashing, that anyone. They would splash so much that the whole Ganga would become full of mud and sand, and nobody would get clean. And they would go to the bathing ghats, where the women would be worshipping Durga and Shiva for good husband. And he would just sit on the little throne of Vishnu,
put on the garlands,
put the sandalwood, eat the prasad, put the tulsis on his feet. What are you doing? He'd say, "Your worshipable Lord is sitting before me." "Don't you know that even Durga and Shiva worship me, so you should also worship me? Give me everything, whatever's left, give me." Some of them, he was so charming, they would just give. And others would start going away, "You are nonsense. You are worshipping for a good husband? If you don't give me all your offerings, then you will have an old man for a husband." Not only that, he would have minimum 7 co-wives. And they were thinking, "Perhaps this young boy is a mystic. We better give him everything." This was a daily affair. And then they would all go, the Brahmins, the young girls, they would all go to Sakshi Mata Jagannath Mishra and complain that your Nimai is just doing so much anxiety to us.
Nimai, when he would get the news that his parents, his father was coming with whipping stick, he would tell his friends, if my father comes, tell him that from school I decided not to bathe today. I went right home. Of course, he didn't even go to school. His father would be at the Ganges looking for him, and he would go he had a secret path home. And he would come home, all dusty, books in his hand, bookmarks in his fingers. Say, Mother, I'm just coming home from school, now I think I'll go bathe in Ganges. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra, he was at the Ganga, and all the children said, he didn't come here. He didn't come. Was it possible he didn't come? Then the Brahmins would say, actually, he did come. Jagannath Mishra would say, well, I will take care of him when I find him. And the Brahmins said, he did come, but please understand, Jagannath Mishra, even though he does all these things, we like it. We love it. As a matter of fact, there is no one so fortunate in all the universe that you have this child as your son. But then Jagannath Mishra would go home, Nimai would be at the Ganges, bathing with all his friends, they would all be laughing how they tricked everyone. Then he would come home after his bath, and Jagannath Mishra would be in an angry mood, but as soon as he saw Nimai, there could be no anger. His heart would melt in love. This was the affection. So one night, Jagannath Mishra had a dream. And in that dream, his heart was broken into millions of pieces. And as he woke up from that dream, he started offering obeisances and praying to Krishna, don't let my son go. Please, Krishna, don't let my son go. And Sasimata heard him screaming out like this. She said, Jagannath Mishra, what is the problem? He said, I had the most horrible dream. Most horrible dream. She said, what is the dream? She said, I saw our son Nimai. And he had a shaved head. And he was wearing saffron sannyasi robes. And there were tears in his eyes, and he was chanting the names of Hari. And there were tens and thousands of people chanting along with him. And he'd start dancing down the roads of Navadweep. And he started dancing to every town and village in the whole country. And there were lakhs of crores of people following him wherever he went, chanting, Hari, Hari. According to this dream, our son will soon leave us. And Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra could not bear the thought. So from that day on, Jagannath Mishra practically could not eat, could not sleep. He was in so much anxiety. And in this way, gradually, in a short amount of time, he gave up his body and returned to the spiritual world in absorption of thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the appearance of soul. So then Sachimata had to do everything alone to care for Nimai. He did not make it easy. One day, well, right here in the house, he said, Mataji, I want to go to Ganga, and I want to offer Ganga sandalwood and some scented fragrances and garlands also. I want them now. She said, well, here are the scented fragrances here, but the garlands will take me a few minutes to make. He said, I want now. She said, I'm just now making. He said, it's not here now. He became very angry. And he took a stick and started destroying everything in the house. Huh?
all the pots with water were destroyed. All the pots with spices, ghee, with oil, destroyed. The windows, the doors, destroyed. After he destroyed absolutely everything in the house, he started beating the walls. And then he would go outside and start beating the ground. And then after there was just nothing else, he would just start beating and rolling in the ground and beating, and then he would go to sleep. Huh? And that's how Shumata, she would come and she would very sweetly and gently, Nimai, I brought your darling, you can wake up now. And she said, here's your darling, now you can go to Ganga. Don't mind that you broke everything in the house, that doesn't matter. Just stay home, that's all, because it matters. And he would take the garland, and he would worship Ganga, and he would come home, and she would say, no, don't. She would fix up the house and clean it while he was gone. And he would come home and it would be a clean house, but there would be nothing in it. And then he'd say, Mother, while I was at the Ganges, Krishna gave me. And he would hand over to his mother 2 tolas of gold, pure gold. And he'd say, for all the damage I've done, I'm sorry, but here, this will take care of everything. So this was happening all the time. She was thinking, where is my son getting this gold? So in this way, many wonderful meals took place on this very holy spot. And because of this, the great Gaudiya Vaishnavas throughout history consider this is the most sacred place in all the universe. But you know, shortly after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, as predicted by Lord Nityananda, the Ganges changed its current and completely flooded the whole area of Navadvipa. And all the holy places of this area of Mayapur Dham was completely covered by the Ganges for 100 years. So then, after the Ganges again retracted its current, everyone was very much anxious to find the birthplace of Sri Gaurasundara. But on the other side, in Navadvip town, there was a birthplace that many thousands, millions of pilgrims would come to every year. But the great pure sages, they understood by Shastra that cannot be the right place. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the father of our Param Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made it his life's mission to find the authorized place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So for years he was studying Shastra, studying ancient maps, consulting with very learned sages and devotees. And alas, at this place he found that there was a small congregation of pure devotees that worshipped here. They accepted that this was the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. It was a place where, on this little mound that was in this section, although it was all weeds and bushes, there was nothing but tulsis that grew here, naturally. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, according to all authorized sources, he concluded this is the authorized place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So for confirmation, the greatest Vaishnava, the greatest devotee at the time, his Guru Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji, he wanted for him to confirm this. Jagannath Das Babaji at that time was over 120 years old. He wasn't able to walk for many, many years. They used to carry him
on a basket because he was so old, his body was so small that they would just carry him around in a basket very easy. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought Jagannath Das Babaji to this place, as soon as he set the basket on the sacred ground under this neem tree, immediately Jagannath Das Babaji leaped in the air so high that everyone was looking up at the soles of his feet. And he started screaming out at the top of his voice, Jai Satchinandana Gaura Hari, Jai Satchinandana Gaura Hari. And then everyone around could understand that yes, this is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Maharaj, there are things
that are
blocking the
way. The great devotion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is described that this was one of the greatest, most celebrated days in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that the rediscovery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace took place. So by his mercy, we are allowed to come here today and seek out the mercy of this holy Dham. So we should pray with a sincere heart that we may, by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of Guru and Sadhu, accept the divine gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and on his order, dedicate our lives to assisting him by distributing this divine gift of the holy name, assisting the great souls. And if you truly desire and pray in this place, then Lord Sri Gaurasundara will certainly fulfill that desire. And that will be the perfection of our lives. Hare Krishna.